Firstly, we're going to read from Luke chapter 1, verse 30. In this Bible, it's 1220. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb, and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of David his father, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for the ages, and of his kingdom there shall not be an end." But Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I know not a man?" And the angel answering said to her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and power of the Highest overshadow thee. Wherefore the holy thing also which shall be born shall be called Son of God." Now we're going to move to Luke chapter 2, verse 6, which is just over the page. "And it came to pass, while they were there, and the days of her giving birth to her child were fulfilled, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him up in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds in that country abiding without, and keeping watch by night over their flock. And lo, an angel of the Lord was there by them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they feared with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people, for today a Saviour has been born to you in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign to you: you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good pleasure in men.' And it came to pass, as the angels departed from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to no one, 'Let us make our way, and then now as far as Bethlehem, and let us see this thing that is come to pass, which is the Lord has made known to us.'"
Thanks, James. When Simon asked me to speak tonight, he said, "Could you speak for 10 minutes? No promises." At this time of the year, I love reading about the way Jesus was born. It just makes me smile inside when I hear these verses read. Because 2,000 years ago, nearly 2,000 years ago, what you've just heard, what James has just read to you, actually happened. This little baby was born in Bethlehem. And there were shepherds in fields, and there were angels speaking from heaven. And there were people praising God because this little baby has been born. Some of you have held a little baby in your arms today. It's something you never forget. It's over 20 years now since I held my sons as little babies in my arms. You just hold them and you look at them. So small. What happens if you drop them? So perfect. It doesn't really matter what they look like. Not if they're yours. And 2,000 years ago, people held this little baby in their arms that we've read about. Mary held it in her arms. It was her son. And she loved him. Joseph held him in his arms. And I think he loved him. But it wasn't his son. What James just read to you makes it very clear. This was God's son. God's son. The only person who's ever lived on this earth who can truthfully be called God's son. But he was. He was. I sometimes wonder what he looked like. That little baby. When people draw pictures of the baby Jesus, they usually draw a beautiful little baby. That's okay. But I'm not sure they're right. You see, you don't need to turn to it, but there is this rather odd little verse back in Isaiah which speaks about Jesus. And it just says this, amongst a lot of other things that are famous. It says, "He has no form or lordliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." So does that mean that little baby was ugly? I don't know. Nobody was taking pictures. Can't tell you what he looked like. If you know a scripture that says he looked beautiful, tell me after. I'm not sure whether he did. But you see, some of us yesterday were thinking about some Bible scriptures, and we were asked to think about this question. That when God looks at you and me, what does he think of you? I know what God thought when he looked at that little baby Jesus. He thought he was beautiful. Doesn't matter what he looked like. Doesn't matter what his nose shape was. Doesn't matter what his ears looked like. When God looked at that little baby, he thought he was beautiful. Because it was his son. And there's something very special about a baby that's your son, your child. And he was beautiful. He's the most beautiful thing there's ever been. Beautiful inside. You see, according to this Bible, Jesus is the only person that's ever lived that had nothing wrong inside. None of those things that the Bible says are called sin. He was pure inside. When God looks at human beings, he's not worried about what they look like on the outside. And he's not worried about whether you're young or whether you're old. When God looks at a human being, he looks inside our hearts. And he sees what our thoughts are like. And he sees what our character is like. He sees what the person that's really you and me, what that person is like. He sees it all. There's nothing you can hide from God. He sees your darkest thoughts. He sees the thoughts that you're ashamed of. He sees your very best thoughts. He sees it all. And 2,000 years ago when he looked at this little baby, there in that stable, as people came to worship him when he was born, he saw something utterly beautiful. For the first time ever since the beginning of the world, he saw something which was perfectly pure, perfectly lovely, absolutely beautiful. And it was more than that. He saw his own son. Do you know, you must have noticed this, but all parents do this. Right? They look at their children, they look at them when they're small, and they look at them when they're growing up. And they see who they look like. You must have done that. Looked at somebody and gone, whoa, don't they look like their parents? I was doing it yesterday. And I saw some of the grown-up children of people that I knew years ago. I thought, wow, they look like their mum at the same age. Well, that's what God thought when he looked at Jesus. He thought, he looks like me. If you looked inside Jesus, if you could see inside him, if you could see his thoughts, if you could see his spirit, his personality inside, you'd have seen somebody who looked exactly like his father. Exactly. Absolutely perfect. Perfect at Bethlehem when he was born. Perfect when he grew up. Perfect at the age of 5. Perfect at the age of 10. Perfect at 15, perfect at 20, perfect at 25, perfect at 30, and dead at 33. It's not where the story ends. But it is the great climax of the story. Dead at 33. God's son. Killed on a cross. Crucified just outside the walls of Jerusalem. Blood on his head from a crown of thorns. Blood on his back where people had whipped him. Blood in his hands where people had nailed him. Blood in his feet where people had nailed his legs to a cross. Blood in his side where a soldier had pierced it. And the eyewitness says he saw blood and water flow out. Blood everywhere on that cross. And he was dead. Taken down from a cross and buried in a tomb nearby. And gone. And then miraculously, marvellously, 3 days later, alive again. It's what makes Christians shout for joy inside. Simon's just told you, Jesus is alive. He went back up to heaven and you can't see him, but he's alive. But he did something on that cross, which changed my life forever. Changed many of yours. You see, we're not like Jesus, are we? Doesn't matter what we look like on the outside, and it doesn't matter what other people think. We're not perfect. Not you and not me. I've done things, and even worse, I've thought things that I would be desperately, desperately ashamed if you knew. But you're not going to know. I'm not perfect, and nor are you. I've lied. I've been selfish. I've stolen. I've been proud. I've done things that I'm not going to tell you. And I've thought things I don't want you to know. I'm a long, long, long way from Jesus. He is pure, and he's perfect, and he's lovely, and he's beautiful. This week, a girl who lives next door to me, she's in her 20s, you probably don't call that a girl. She came round to me and she said, Tim, I need you to pray for me now. She's a Christian like me. She said, I'm going over the road. I'm going to go and talk to the old lady who lives over the road, Jo. I'm going now. We're going to have a cup of tea. And I want to tell her about Jesus, and I don't know how to do it. So could you pray while I'm over there? Truthfully, I forgot. And the doorbell rang about 2 hours later, and she was back. She said, can I tell you what happened? I said, fine, come in. We sat at the kitchen table, she had a cup of tea. She said it went like this. She said, we didn't talk about Jesus. Not to start with. We talked about all sorts of other things. And then the old lady, she started to talk about when she was growing up. And she went to a Catholic school. And she met some nuns. And somehow, while she was talking about nuns, my friend said, I felt able to talk to her about Jesus. I said, what did you say? She said, I explained to her about the way Jesus was perfect. Absolutely perfect. And how I was not. And how on that cross he did something which means that he took my place. And it's better than that. I've taken his. God's taken all the stuff that was inside me, all my guilt and all my shame, and he's given it to Jesus on that cross. He's taken it all of it. And he's given it to his son. And it's cost him something. It's cost him something horribly. But God's done something else. He's taken all that beauty, all that perfection. He's taken it, all that loveliness that's Jesus. And he's given it to me. I said, what did the old lady say? She said, no one's ever told me that before. Because that's what happened. That's what this Bible's all about. We're sinners, is what it says. And we know it inside. And Jesus is lovely. And he's perfect. And he's God's own son. But there on a cross, he offered himself as a sacrifice and took my place and all my sin and all my guilt on himself. And because I've gone to him, he's alive. Because I've done what the scripture says and I've turned in my heart. And I've asked him to forgive me my sins and save me. Because I've done that. God's given me all the perfect and beauty and the loveliness of his own son. I don't feel lovely. I don't look beautiful. But I'm going to heaven. And I know I'm going there. And I know why I'm going to be allowed in. It's because God looks at me as if I was his own son. And he looks at me and he sees the beauty of Jesus and not the ugliness of me. Because Jesus, in the sight of God, has taken all that ugliness away. And I'm free. No one's getting into heaven any other way. Not by living a good life. Doesn't get you into heaven. Not by going to church. Doesn't get you into heaven. But when you turn in your heart and ask Jesus to forgive you your sins and be your saviour, you'll be allowed in. You'll be allowed in because you're his. You're one of Jesus' own. You're bought with a price. You're made like him in the sight of God. And you're welcomed into heaven. That's what Jesus did. He was lovely in a manger. He was lovely when he grew up. He was beautiful in a way on the cross. It's the most beautiful thing that I know. That someone could love me so much that they could take my place and all the ugliness of my sin. Love me so much that they could stay there until the judgment of hell that I deserve was borne by him and it was finished. Love me so much that he stayed there till the end. Love me so much that he died. Think about it, it's beautiful. A love like that. The world's not seen anything to compare with Jesus or with his love or with the message that he sent us out to preach that we cannot save ourselves. But we just have to trust him and he's done it all. That's all I have to say.